This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Yes, this is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock this afternoon. Plenty to talk about over the next hour. Coming up, we'll be looking back at all of the Championship action over the weekend. As per usual with the Championship, so many storylines and plots to come out of it. And also, it's not over on Rivalry Weekend. One more game to go tonight. It is QPR up against Brentford. QPR without one of their leading goal scorers, Jordan Hugel, tonight due to suspension. Our focus this afternoon will be talking a little bit about Huddersfield. Day one against Barnsley. They're on a good run under new manager Danny Cowley. Are things starting to look up for Huddersfield? We'll also be talking about Bristol City. Is the promotion pressure getting too much? Manager Lee Johnson says that's not an issue, but are Bristol City struggling with the expectation of them going into the season? If you want to get in touch with us, call us on 0808 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. So, plenty to look back on over the weekend, going through all of the Championship results, and then we'll have a look at the table. So, it started at Hillsborough on Saturday lunchtime. Sheffield Wednesday against Leeds. Sheffield Wednesday have made an impressive start to life under Gary Monk. Interestingly, Gary Monk was the only manager in the Championship last season to beat Marcelo Bielsa twice, but it was 0-0, the first time in about 50 years that this fixture has ended 0-0. So 1 point each for Gary Monk's side, 1 point also for Marcelo Bielsa's side, and I don't think either side will be particularly disappointed with that. Both sides do drop a couple of places in the table. It was third v second. They are now fifth and third, but not a bad result against a pretty direct rival. Then on to the 3 o'clock kickoffs. Birmingham took on Luton and they won by 2-1, which moves Birmingham up to 11th. They've not really created many headlines this season, but they are just kind of hovering in an okay position, mid-table at this stage of the Championship season. And also, we keep banging on about it, but it is just so close in the Championship at the moment that there is not much that splits the top from, well, let me just put it like this. West Brom in first are on 27. Derby in 16th are on 18 points. That just, I think, highlights all for you. Huddersfield, as we mentioned, won 2-1 against Barnsley. That's now 11 points out of a possible 15 in this month under Danny Cowley. They've not lost in their last six. So a good run for Huddersfield, but problems continue for Barnsley. They're right down at the bottom of the table in last place, still without a new manager. Daniel Stendel was sacked a few weeks ago, but no one has come in to replace him. What's going on at Barnsley? Are they approaching managers and simply getting knocked back because of where they are in the Championship table? Or are they just biding their time? Are they looking around, being cautious, being meticulous in their recruitment of their next manager, and are willing to wait that little bit longer for it? Wonder what's going on at Barnsley. Hull 2, Derby 0. And when those scores were coming in and I'd seen Hull had scored once and then twice, I was thinking, what's the betting that that's Jared Bowen? And lo and behold, both goals were scored by Jared Bowen. We were talking last week, actually, to Matt Holden from the 1875 Blackburn podcast, and talking about the onus and the pressure on Bradley Dack, perhaps an over-reliance upon him, that if Bradley Dack doesn't have a good game, then Blackburn struggle to do good things. I think it is the same with Hull, although they are getting other players to start contributing. Kamil Grosicki is another player that is starting to do a little bit more for Hull, but Jared Bowen is the be-all and end-all for Hull. He is the centrepiece, and I think it's one of those weird catch-22s for Hull fans, because they obviously want Jared Bowen to play well, because that obviously benefits Hull, because they will win games as a result of him playing well. But if he does too well in a ridiculous sense, then I think that will accelerate his move into the Premier League. I'm astounded, really, that it's taken this long, really, and that last summer there was lots of interest. We've spoken to Jonty Coleman from the Hull Daily Mail, and he said there was plenty of interest in the summer, but no concrete offer came onto the table. I think January that will change. And Newcastle have been rumoured to have an interest. I think Bowen broke into the whole first team at the time where Steve Bruce was the manager there. So he will know a little bit about him from when he first emerged into the Hull City first team. And I'm so surprised. What you've got to factor in with Jarrod Bowen is that not only is he doing well in the Championship, and you might think, you might start asking, can he make that jump? Can he make the leap into the top league? He's doing it in a really poor Hull team. He is not surrounded by quality. He's not playing for West Brom. He's not playing for Leeds. He's not playing for Swansea, who are right at the top, full of good players. He is doing it for Hull, who are in mid-table and a lot of last season right near the bottom. So he is getting goals. He is getting assists in a poor side. And that has to account for quite a lot. And I would be astonished if in January some firm, actual, proper bids didn't come in for Jarrod Bowen. But a win for Hull and Philip Cocu, it's been a rollercoaster start to life as the Derby manager. You come in because Frank Lampard obviously goes to Chelsea. You then have the Wayne Rooney situation where obviously he is signing as a player coach in January. So you have the circus that comes with Wayne Rooney come with that. You then obviously, without wanting to obviously go into too much detail, you had the drink driving offences with Mason Bennett and Tom Lawrence, the fact that Captain Richard Keogh was injured during that incident and is out for the next 15 months at least. He's had a lot to deal with, Philip Cocu, and things are not easy when you're having to deal with off-field matters as well as on-field. But a win for Hull there. Middlesbrough 0, Fulham 0. I think the less said about that result, the better. For Middlesbrough, that point, they drew against Huddersfield in midweek, and that didn't benefit either side really. I don't see how this game benefits Middlesbrough. You're at home, yes, against a side in Fulham who are expected to be right in contention to get promoted, but you're at home, and I think in that situation, is it worth risking losing the game in order to win it? I think it is, and Middlesbrough still sat just inside the relegation zone. Millwall 2, Stoke 0. It was Gary Rowett's first game in charge. He was in the stands during their 2-2 draw against Cardiff in midweek last week, but it was his first game in charge proper of Millwall against one of his former clubs. I think you get to a point with some of these Championship managers where it's pretty much the ex-Derby, because they've been at about 17 different clubs in the Championship. We'll get to a point where managers have managed about 21 of the 24 clubs, so every other week we'll be going, oh, it's the Gary Rowett Derby. It's another of his former clubs that he has managed, but a good win at home against his former side. Nathan Jones, it did feel like he's starting to turn things around a little bit, but obviously defeat away at Millwall. Nottingham Forest Reading was postponed on the weekend due to a waterlogged pitch at the Forest ground. You may remember the weather was pretty abysmal on Saturday afternoon. It was coming up from kind of the south and the south-west, and that game was postponed, so no game for Sabri Lamouchi's side. And obviously they didn't play, so they have a game in hand. But how things have changed. You think back 2 weeks ago, Forest were joint top, and because of the nature of the Championship this season, they lost poorly to Wigan away from home 1-0. They lost at home against Hull 2-1 in midweek last week, and suddenly they've dropped from second to 10th. That's how kind of close it is in the Championship at the moment. Preston 3, Blackburn 2. A dramatic comeback at Deepdale. Blackburn were 2-0 up, but Preston coming from behind to win 3-2, which elevates the home side up into second in the table. Alex Neil was praised quite a lot for his job that he did last season. He was linked with the West Brom job and turned it down. He continues to do a good job at Deepdale. Talking of West Brom, obviously table toppers still, but they had a pretty intriguing game at home against Charlton, who've been one of the surprise packages in a good sense this season. The job that Lee Bowyer is doing there, I mean, only Liverpool and Manchester City have gained more league points in 2019 than Charlton, which just shows how good a job that Bowyer is doing. West Brom were 2-1 up late on, but a late goal for Charlton secured 1 point. West Brom were down to 10 men, and Charlton did get 1 point from that game. West Brom, though, still top of the table by a couple of points. Then on to Sunday, we had a derby game, a massive one for the two Welsh sides. It was Swansea who were at home against Cardiff, and Ben Wilmot's goal gave Swansea the bragging rights in South Wales with a deserved win over a lacklustre Cardiff, or Neil Warnock's Cardiff side. The other game yesterday, Bristol City were at home against Wigan. Bristol City 2, Wigan 2. Pedro Pereira scored his first Bristol City goal as the Robins rescued a late draw at home to 18th placed Wigan. We'll talk a little bit about Bristol City later in the hour. Lee Johnson, the manager, has said that the promotion pressure isn't getting to them, but maybe we start asking these questions. But Bristol City are sixth, so a bit of perspective. They are still having a solid start to the season, but there is that sense of expectation. And when you have expectation, it's a completely different dynamic. When people don't expect things of you, it can be a lot easier. Suddenly, when not just from outside, but from within, when there is the belief that you should be doing very well, and there's that pressure that comes with that, that is not always something that everyone deals with well. Some people relish that pressure, others don't. So I think maybe a little bit harsh to ask the question, are Bristol City crumbling under the sense of expectation to get promoted, considering they are sixth in the table, when as the championship table shown, they're only 3 points off the top of the table. So all things in perspective. And then we have one game tonight. QPR play against Brentford. Obviously, we've had a few rivalry games this week. Huddersfield play Barnsley. As we mentioned, the Swansea-Cardiff game as well. QPR take on Brentford. QPR, though, will be without Jordan Hugill, who's been one of their key players this season. He scored 7 goals in the league this season, but he is suspended tonight after picking already 5 yellow cards. He scored 7, as has Naki Wells, his QPR teammate. Obviously, leading the goal scoring charts is Alexander Mitrovic. He scored a hat-trick in midweek last week. He's on to 11 goals now for the season for Fulham. Ollie Watkins, who is playing in that role that Neil Morpé did for Brentford last season, he's on 8, as is Daniel Johnson, who scored on the weekend for Preston. Carlin Grant and Jarrod Bowen, despite playing for two sides kind of in the bottom half of the table, they are both on 8 goals as well. So good starts for them. And then, as I mentioned, Naki Wells and Jordan Hugill of QPR both on 7. So those are all of the Championship games. Just a quick rundown of the table. West Brom are currently top. They are on 27 points. Preston are in second on 25. Those are the two automatic promotion spots in the playoff positions. Leeds on 25, Swansea on 25, Sheffield Wednesday on 24, Bristol City on 24. QPR, though, with a win tonight at home against Brentford, could go up into second place down the bottom. Barnsley are currently set bottom on 8. Stoke are also on 8 points. Middlesbrough on 12. Reading just outside on 12 points. And Huddersfield now out of the relegation zone. They are on 13 points. If you want to share your views on the Championship action over the weekend, call us on 0208 70 20 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. As I mentioned, Huddersfield are now out of the relegation zone after a 2-1 home win against Barnsley last weekend. So we'll be getting the Huddersfield perspective next.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to share your views on your Championship club, call us on 0208 70 20 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. Obviously, this hour is all about you, the Championship fans. A dedicated hour every weekday afternoon between 2 and 3 to have your views. We're going to be talking all things Huddersfield now. They won 2-1 against Barnsley on the weekend. I'm delighted to say we're joined by Stephen Tricken, Huddersfield Town writer for Examiner Live. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Stephen. It feels like a bit of momentum coming Danny Cowley's way. 11 points out of a possible 15 in October. Not lost in their last 6. The first few games were quite tough for Danny Cowley, but it does seem, as he said, as he promised, that it was about getting that winning feeling back, and then they would get on a little bit of a run.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's worth saying that they've played a lot of teams that are towards that bottom end of the table, but nonetheless, to have picked up as many wins this month as they had in the previous 18, you know, you can't really sniff at that. They look so much more resilient at the back. They've had 3 clean sheets across their last 5 games. And just that even when they've not been playing well, they've not been losing, which is a big turnaround from what we had before.
He said, Danny Cowley, when he first joined, that, as I just intimated, that Huddersfield had lost that winning feeling, that it was as simple sometimes as a lack of confidence, that because Huddersfield had lost so many games at the end of, obviously, or throughout the last Premier League season in 2018-19, do you think it's just as simple as saying they've got that confidence back and suddenly, obviously, there'll be bigger tests to come, but suddenly you win a couple of games, you get that feeling back, it becomes a little bit easier? Or are there other things that have been tweaked that mean that Huddersfield have put themselves in this position where they can win games?
I'm sure it's a bit of both. I mean, the confidence definitely helps. The draw that they got against Blackburn, the 2-2 last week as well, that was a game that was the first time this season that Town have picked up a point from behind. And against Barnsley as well, you got the sense that in previous games this season, they would have probably drawn that game or even lost that game because they were in control until about 15 minutes from the end, and then Barnsley got one and kept putting Town under pressure at 2-1. But instead, this time what we saw was that they were a lot more professional. They got on the ball, they kept it in the corner, they saw the game out much better. It's still not brilliant. There's still kinks that need to be worked out, but generally speaking, the way that they respond when things are going wrong, they're still making mistakes, but the way they're responding to those mistakes has generally been better. We saw in one of the games early in Cowley's reign against West Brom that they were, I think, 3 of the 4 goals they conceded were from them giving the ball away and then seeming to panic in response. That isn't happening as often anymore, and I think that's gone a long way. So it's definitely confidence has played a big part. Fitness was an issue when Cowley came in, and they'll have obviously been working to get that up as much as possible, but just organisation and getting the players in the right mindset and making sure that they're that little bit more resilient is definitely going a long way as well.
I was going to ask you, Stephen, about kind of the characteristics of this Danny Cowley Huddersfield side. If you had to describe them, obviously it's still pretty early in his reign at Huddersfield, but from what you've seen over these first kind of couple of months, these first 6 to 8 weeks, how would you describe this Huddersfield side under Danny Cowley, and how does it compare to potentially a few years ago when they were last in the Championship?
As I say, that resilience is there. I think it's important not to get too carried away. I think they are pretty much another, as I say, the top of that form table this month, so I'm really not doing them down when I say this, but they are kind of they look like a bog standard Championship team, which, as I say, that sounds like a criticism. It really isn't, because they were bottom of the table. They were, you know, favourites for relegation. They were really on their way down. I think what's interesting now is that they've got a really difficult run of games coming up, and it'll be really interesting to see if they can continue to up those levels to keep themselves going up the table.
Looking at some of the kind of star performers for Huddersfield, the man that stands out, I was talking about the leading goal scorers just a few moments ago before you came on, Stephen, and we talked about Mitrovic being up there. He's on his own on 11, but then amongst the next bunch that are on 8, Carlin Grant's name features in there, and I was talking about Jared Bowen being at the centre of everything that Hull are doing well. For Carlin Grant to score 8 goals in a Huddersfield side that spent most of these first 14 games in the relegation zone, that's a testament to how well he's been playing this season, that even in a struggling side, he is still able to produce the number of goals that means he's joined second in the Championship.
Yeah, he's a brilliant, instinctive finisher. Cowley has actually played him on the left as often as he's played him as a central striker. That's one of the big changes he made. He feels like Carlin Grant is good at coming in from the left and sort of cutting inside onto his right foot. And he showed a perfect example of that against Barnsley with the second goal. He picked the ball up sort of on the left-hand side of the box and held off a man and cut out onto his right foot and put a perfect finish into the top corner. I think that goal kind of exemplifies what Carlin Grant is all about. He's such an instinctive finisher. He just always seems to know where the net is. The previous week, against Hull, he'd also scored one where he was facing, just before the international break it was, he was facing away from goal and swiveled around and put it in the bottom corner, which was, you know, again, incredible awareness. In terms of players that have been sort of key players, though, you also have to give a big shout out to Lewis O'Brien, who's a young player who's come up from the academy. He's been absolutely brilliant the last few weeks. Man of the match again on Saturday, as far as we were concerned. He's been a phenomenal gem that's come up from the academy.
One of the things maybe that Danny Cowley would have been slightly irritated by on the weekend was the fact that Huddersfield didn't keep a clean sheet. Obviously, they were 2-0 up when Carlin Grant gave them that second goal in the 53rd minute. But conceding with 10 minutes left, how frustrated will Danny Cowley be with not keeping that clean sheet? And going into those final 10 minutes, was there, even against a side struggling like Barnsley, was there a sense of nervousness that kind of engulfed the John Smith Stadium in the latter stages of that game?
There was briefly. So as I say, they played well between sort of the 15th and 75th minutes of this field. And then Barnsley got that goal sort of 10, 11 minutes from time, and it did feel a bit like, because they'd been cruising before then, Barnsley really offered very little, and it suddenly felt, obviously you're then very on edge. But once we got into injury time, that they took the doubt out of it, because they were, as I say, they did such a professional job keeping it in the corner, making sure that Barnsley just couldn't even get on the ball, let alone get it forward. You know, they got given a corner kick and they didn't even put men up for it. They just sort of kept it in there. They did a really good job seeing out the game to take those nerves out of it later on.
Looking ahead then for Huddersfield, up next, it is a trip to Brentford, who are perhaps slightly underperforming to where people expected them to be. Do you think, you mentioned, Stephen, about how during this good run that the Huddersfield have had in October, that they haven't really had any big tests. A lot of those sides that kind of we've been mentioning, Barnsley, Middlesbrough, Blackburn, Hull, most of those are kind of bottom half of the table, towards the bottom of the bottom half as well. That this weekend's game is going to be kind of a good indication of where this Huddersfield side is going in the early part of Danny Cowley's tenure.
Yeah, and after that, Town have got, you know, got a run against teams that are all in the top half, most of whom are in the top 10. Brentford, Cowley spoke about the fact that he sees them as a team playing nice football. We know that they've been very up and down in terms of their results this season, and I believe that there has been some underperformance. But, yeah, it will be interesting to see Town go up against a team that many people expected to be towards the top end of that table this season, and see how they can dig in. You almost feel like Huddersfield might be slightly better away from home at the moment, because one of the things they've struggled with is punishing teams when they've been on the ball, whereas if the onus is off them and they're playing a bit more counter-attacking, that might actually suit them a little bit better. So one to look out for on Saturday, I think.
And just one final one, Stephen. What is the mood like at Huddersfield at the moment? Because I'm assuming, obviously, there was that deflated feeling after staying up in Huddersfield's first season under David Wagner. They then obviously had a pretty poor one last season where they looked doomed from a long way out. Jan Sievert took them into this season, sat very early doors. What is the overall mood? Is there a sense of cautious optimism with Danny Cowley now at the helm, or are there still a lot of Huddersfield fans that are reticent to start getting a little bit too positive?
I think I would characterise it more as cautious optimism, yeah. I mean, they're totally behind Cowley. We've seen the chance of Danny Cowley's Barmy Army and things like that over the last few games. Every time he comes out before a game, he gets a big response. He did a Q&A with the fans a couple of weeks ago where he was, you know, he was given kind of a hero's welcome. So I think they're very, very confident that they've got the right manager and they've got the best chance that they possibly have of moving up that table. And you know, they're still I think it's still being talked about as a relegation fight at this stage. But I think there is a bit of cautious optimism, as you say, that come the new year and once we get further into 2020, that they might be away from that and looking forward to planning for next season instead.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Stephen. That was Stephen Chicken, Huddersfield Town writer for Examiner Live, giving his views on Huddersfield's good run. Well, they most certainly are doing well under Danny Cowley, or much better than they were at the beginning of the season. 11 points out of a possible 15 in October so far. Not lost in the last six, but as Stephen mentioned, the run of fixtures that Huddersfield have been quite kind and in some ways fortunate for Danny Cowley, but maybe you can look at it as good forward thinking by the owners, that it was the right time to do it. Looking at these run of games, it was an opportunity for Danny Cowley to get some wins under his belt, to get a little bit of momentum. And then when the trickier games come up, so you look ahead for Huddersfield, they travel to Brentford on the weekend, then they're away at Preston, and then they play Swansea a few weeks after that. So some bigger tests are to come, but maybe getting a bit of confidence, restoring a little bit of belief in the Huddersfield team as well as in the crowd is massive. And as Stephen said, perhaps characterising the Huddersfield fans currently as cautiously optimistic that things might turn around for Huddersfield. They are now out of the relegation zone, most certainly not out of danger, but a good run now has now kind of put them out of the relegation zone for the time being. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0808 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so we want to hear from you this afternoon. We're going to continue looking back at the Championship action over the weekend at Ashton Gate on the weekend. Bristol City were up against Wigan. They drew 2-2 in that game. Perhaps questions as to whether Bristol City are struggling to deal with the promotion pressure. Manager Lee Johnson says it's not an issue, but we'll be asking that question next.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0808 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. One of two fixtures yesterday afternoon in the Championship was at Ashton Gate. Bristol City drew 2-2 against Wigan. And to get the Robin's perspective now, I'm delighted to say we are joined from Paul, who is at The Exiled Robin on Twitter and Facebook. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Paul. As I said, a 2-2 draw. What was your reaction to that game? Is this a game that, obviously, you can look back at it in hindsight now, but a game that Bristol City really shouldn't be slipping up in?
I think if you look at the league table, you can certainly take that impression. But to be honest, we've seen enough games over the last couple of seasons where the bottom six, bottom eight sides have come to Ashton Gate and put up a good fight, and we've struggled to break them down. I think it was certainly something we identified in the summer. We needed that little bit of spark and creativity that maybe we're missing. Whilst the bookies would say we were hot favourites, we have actually sufficiently struggled against those sort of sides for the last couple of years.
Pedro Pereira scored his first Bristol City goal. Obviously, he's a Portuguese wing-back on loan from Benfica. What have you made of him since he joined on loan?
Yeah, he looks a neat little footballer. I think he's very much in rotation with Jack Hunt at the moment, in sort of right-back and right-wing-back. That's a position where the guys do a lot of miles up and down the pitch every week, so Lee Johnson's always been keen to switch those around. But yeah, he looks a neat footballer. Possibly slightly actually a better defender maybe than Jack Hunt is, but hasn't actually shown a massive amount going forward until yesterday. Quite interestingly, it was you could see the manager and the coaches sort of shouting at him to get forward further corner, a bit further. So he wasn't his natural instinct per se, but they obviously had an idea that he might be able to do something, and it worked out really well.
One man that also started up front for Bristol City was Rodri, signed on a free transfer in light of, obviously, the serious injury that Benneke Fobe has picked up. Obviously, having only just joined, no surprise that he only played just under an hour. What did you make of him in his early stages at the club?
Yeah, he's involved. He's been involved on the bench a couple of times and looked reasonable. Came on very well for the sort of 20 minutes at Luton and home to Charlton on Wednesday. And to be honest, he's probably only playing because Fiamara Diji was sent off on Wednesday night, so suspended for this game, and it was kind of thrown in. I imagine, ideally, Johnson would have kept him back a little bit for, getting some minutes under his belt and getting on as a sub. But he struggled a bit more yesterday. I think the whole team struggled. Probably didn't really give him much service. He's not a Dijon or a Fobe type striker. He's a different sort of player. Didn't necessarily get the service into his feet that he probably needs. He's not the tallest or necessarily the bulkiest. He's an option at the moment, and we'll say we're really sure. I think I mentioned when we came on a couple of weeks ago that we've got 5 or 6 first-team injuries. We've now got Dijon out injured, so we really are down to bare bones. And yeah, Rodri's probably going to be playing the next couple of matches, so hopefully he can continue to adapt to the Championship and make a good impression.
It was interesting reading some of Lee Johnson's comments after the game and some of the questions perhaps being asked of him. For example, he dismissed the notion that the stress of promotion, of a promotion bid, had got to his Bristol City players, that he says that the expectation is not an issue. Watching Bristol City across these first 14 games of the season, do you think that this perhaps question being aimed at Lee Johnson is unfair, considering Bristol City are sat sixth and only one win effectively away from the top of the table, that surely that's unjust to be saying. If Bristol City were 7 or 8 points worse off, then that might be a fair question. But it seems to me like a really unfair question to be suggesting that Bristol City's players are struggling with the sense of expectation.
Yeah, I think I agree. And it's October, you know, it's a long way. It's not as if we were top after 8 games and are falling away or anything like that. We're in and around the mix. You say we're only a couple of points off the top. We go second joint top on Friday if we win. And yeah, I think it's far too early to be talking about promotion pressure. I think more likely, to be honest, is the fact that because of the injuries, we're having to flog the same players. We've got lots of the same players playing every week. I mean, in midfield yesterday, I think we had to rest Hanno Masengo, who's come in and done well, but he started to flag the last couple of games. So we had Callum O'Dowda playing central midfield, doesn't normally play central midfield. We're down to sort of, you know, third and fourth choice centre backs with second choice left backs, and yeah, it's starting to, I think, about more than anything, and the tiredness and the, you know, maybe some of these reserve options of what probably showed through yesterday more than anything else.
I've asked a number of the guests that we've had on over the last few weeks from a whole host of clubs in the Championship as to their views as to why it is so concertina. I was saying earlier that West Brom in first and Derby in 16th, there's only 9 points between those the sides in first to 16th. Is it, in your view, Paul, a case of the Championship, the quality of it, the kind of the bog standard has just gone up and the quality is that bit better? Or is it the opposite way? Is it that the Championship in general isn't as good and there are kind of more OK sides that are all kind of being pushed together?
Yeah, it's a tricky one to assess, isn't it? I think, you know, that there's the often thrown about phrase is that there's a distinct lack of quality in any team, so no one's pulling away. But I think you're right. I think the argument certainly could be made with the money that's filtering down from the Premier League or some of the players that are filtered down from the Premier League, but actually the mean sort of performance in the division has actually gone up, and that's why it's harder for anyone to make an impact. I mean, we saw a big exodus, I guess, of the top players in the summer to the Premier League. I can't remember exactly, but certainly sort of 6, 7, 8 of the players that didn't get promoted moved on up, for like some McBurney and Shea Adams, people like that. So maybe it's lacking a little bit of some of the very best strikers, the very best, you know, goal getters in the division. But I think, yeah, I think generally a lot of teams are maybe just sort of converging onto the mean as such, and it's going to, you know, maybe take a little run of games, a little run of wins for someone to pull away, and they'll be in a potentially very strong position.
We were just talking about whether the pressure was getting to Bristol City. Has, from your point of view, Paul, as a fan, has your expectation changed in these first 14 games? What were you realistically expecting from the Robins this season at the start of it, and now kind of a few months in, 14 games in, how has that view changed, or is it still exactly the same?
It's probably roughly the same, to be honest. I think, you know, if we were to win on Friday and go second, you could probably think that's over expectation. And, you know, with players to come back in the next couple of months, you might think that's a really good position to be in. But then we've seen some performances, certainly the last three performances, that have been pretty hit and miss and poor in places. And you do start to worry and wonder that whether, you know, we're very good at grinding out results. We're very, you know, hard-working, committed team. And we're maybe picking up the odd points that you might say a performance don't necessarily deserve. You know, it's probably a bit of both, to be honest. I think, you know, we were probably looking at the start of the season, a top 10 finish, pushing on to the top six, hopefully, if we could get someone in who could score the goals. And I think, as you said, with a Fobe's injury, we probably are still looking for that person in January. But if we can find a gem somewhere who can come in and give us a push in January, I think we've got as good a chance as anyone in the division.
And just finally, then, Paul, it's going to be quite a quick turnaround for Bristol City, obviously playing yesterday, then in action on Friday night away from home at bottom of the table, Barnsley. How do you think Lee Johnson will be able to deal with it? Or do you think the fact that, for example, last week there were midweek fixtures, so there was short turnarounds between those games, that a manager like Lee Johnson and a Championship club like Bristol City are fully used to these sort of short turnarounds?
Yeah, I think they are used to it. I mean, we played Wednesday last week, so that's part of the reason we were playing Sunday yesterday. There was no sort of TV reason as such. And I think, you know, I think especially this time of the season when you've got the international breaks, I think the managers do, they must look in this sort of short 5 or 6 game bursts that they have, because if they know following Friday, we've got the best part of 2 weeks off. So they can look at the players, work out who's, you know, got one last set of 90 minutes in them, you know, pick them and hopefully go and get a result heading into the break, and they can all come back mostly refreshed and raring to go again.
Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Paul. That was Paul. You can find him at The Exiled Robin on Twitter and Facebook. Obviously talking all things Bristol City there. A frustrating draw at home yesterday against Wigan. As I said, a quick turnaround for them. They're back in action on Friday night away at bottom of the table, Barnsley. Still managerless at Barnsley. Still on the search for who is the man to replace Daniel Stendel. Remember, if you want to share your views, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so we want to hear from you this afternoon. Love Sport.